Off the Ball Rugby.
I don't think there is a rivalry in rugby like it. The people who say, well, it's the exact same process all week, it isn't when you play Leinster Munster. It's a different game. We're just completely all consumed by
it. Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
We're going to turn our attention to women's football because, of course, Champions League action this week. We had a big game coming up this weekend as well between Arsenal and Chelsea. Delighted to welcome Jessie Parker-Humphreys from The Athletic to the show this morning. Jessie, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Keeping well. Thanks a million for jumping on. I suppose we'll start with Arsenal. Hard to know where Arsenal are at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, this weekend is a big weekend, I think, for Jonas Eidevall. They obviously lost 5-2 to Bayern Munich in the Champions League. That came off the back of a 0-0 draw to Everton. And it kind of seems crazy to say because we're, what, 4 or 5 weeks into the season? But it feels like, you know, save your season time already in that big game against Chelsea. It'll be interesting to see what happens. Traditionally, at the Emirates, they've done very well against Chelsea. It feels like some fans think, regardless of result, maybe it's time for Eidevall to move on. But I think definitely he needs a win on Saturday at the very least.
Is Jonas Eidevall under pressure, Jesse? Because you look at some of the substitutions maybe he's made in recent games. Some people making the argument that he's bringing defensive players on, Cathy Williamson, rather than going for that impact sub that can go and win a game. Is he, should he be under pressure?
Yeah, I think he should be. I mean, if they do lose to Chelsea at the weekend, they'll have dropped 7 points from this season already. When Chelsea won the title 2 years ago, they dropped 8 points all year. So I think that just shows you like how small the margins are, you know, in the WSL. You really have to pick up points and fast. The substitutions thing is an interesting one. Like I definitely understand the frustration, and you know, his sort of rationale was he needed those players, Williamson and Catley, to get minutes in terms of heading into that Bayern Munich game. That, you know, they've not been available all season, and that's why they sort of prioritised them coming on. Obviously, when you're drawing 0-0, maybe you think, okay, you've got to have that plan go out the window and just sort of go for it. Potentially, that argument would have been more meaningful if they then went to Munich and had this amazing performance to justify it. The fact that they go there and lose 5-2, I think that just leaves everyone feeling even more frustrated.
What's the problem then? Like, if we park Jonas Eidevall for a second on pitch, obviously from an Irish perspective, we're sitting watching Katie McCabe and trying to see her impact a couple of assists the other night as well. But what's the issue on pitch for Arsenal?
I think generally the struggle has been scoring goals. Chance creation has been an issue for Arsenal running through 12 months or so now. The narrative has been that they've really struggled against teams that sit back against them, but they've excelled in games where teams will try and play, and they've been able to exploit the space in behind. So, you know, last year they beat City home and away, they beat Chelsea at home, and, you know, they were able to sort of say, look, we pick up points in these bigger games. You know, they won the Continental Cup final against Chelsea as well. The problem coming into this year, though, is it also feels like as the bigger teams adapt to that and see where Arsenal's weaknesses are in terms of chance creation, they're willing to do that as well. So you saw in the Bayern Munich game, who are a team who you might expect to press Arsenal, who want to try and play the ball, they were perfectly happy just to sit back and give Arsenal the ball, which makes sense, right? If you see that they're struggling, you're like, well, fine, like, have the ball. You know, I'm not going to put myself at risk by that. And it just feels like that's an issue that Eidevall's been unable to solve throughout, yeah, kind of the past year.
Jesse, to continue Shane's mentioning there of Katie McCabe, it seems awfully curious to us what's happening with McCabe. We have, of course, a bias there, but McCabe sets up both goals against Bayern during the week. The first one's a really good cross, second one's a corner, which we're well used to. But then very shortly after the corner, I think, in fact, within a minute, she substituted at 2-2, and of course, Bayern ended up winning 5-2. What's going on with McCabe and Eidevall?
I don't think there's anything necessarily specific around McCabe, but I think that speaks to just the sense that Eidevall doesn't adjust in game to what happened. So like those subs, you can see them getting ready to come on before Arsenal equalise, right? And then they equalise and they still get made. And it's the same as the substitutes again, the Everton game. You know, there doesn't seem to be this awareness of like what's going on in the game and how you might benefit and how you might have to change your game plan based on what's happening in front of you, it feels like he goes into games and he's like, right, at 60 minutes, you know, I'm going to take McCabe off and bring Catley on for fresh legs, you know. But then when you equalise and you're like, oh, well, maybe you don't need that. You need something a little bit differently. Equally in the Everton game, it's like, I'll bring Williamson and Catley on, even though it's nil-nil, when you've got a player like Rosa Kafaji, who is like one of their exciting attacking summer signings, she's on the bench. She's the player who maybe the fans are thinking that could give us the little bit of magic we need to score. But it feels like Idaval's still like, nope, I planned the substitution and I'm going to bring these players on.
That started that second half the other night, Jesse. Like, I think confounded a lot of Arsenal fans, certainly in online forums. That was the general feeling. They could have kept it tight and maybe fought their way to a draw. Tough to say that after a 5-2 defeat, obviously. But, you know, the counter-attack could have been an option. But it just seemed like after the interval, things just went awry.
Yeah, and I think this has become the concern for Arsenal fans beyond sort of the tactics. You know, there's, I think, been a sense in this Everton game and then in the Bayern Munich game that maybe as much as either of our tactics aren't working, the players also aren't buying into them. It's felt like in moments where maybe last season they would have really pushed and gone for it, or, you know, in this Bayern game, they would have kept it tight, they would have held on for the draw. Because, you know, a point away to the German champions in the Champions League group stage is nothing to, like, feel ashamed about, obviously. But then you just sort of saw them, I think, you know, the third goal happens and it felt like just after that they just totally collapsed. And, you know, for Pernilla Harder to score this hat-trick in 13 minutes, the fourth goal in particular, her second, she just has, you know, the freedom of the box. And this is someone who's, you know, long been recognised as one of the best players in the world. Like, if you're going to be marking someone, it's her. And I think that just sort of spoke to this idea that the players themselves just feel a bit switched off, a bit disinterested. At least that's kind of how it looks on the pitch.
Jesse, do you think Arsenal should make a change in management?
I mean, in my opinion, yes. I don't really see how Idaval comes back from this because of that stuff with the players. I think when you've got to the point where you're questioning whether the players want to play for the manager, I think that's a very hard thing to turn around. And I think the issue that Arsenal face is they knew what their weaknesses were last season. They knew that they were struggling with teams who sat back against them. And okay, you know, they have the summer, they work on it, they bring in Mariona from Barcelona, they bring in Kafaji. These are, you know, creative players, not, you know, out of that Idaval mold of like very strong kind of counter-attacking players that he's liked in the past, players like Blackstenius, like Marnham. But then here we are, it's game week 4, you've already drawn with Everton, you've had this big defeat against Bayern Munich, and, you know, you're kind of questioning where the season's going. As I say, if they lose against Chelsea, I think they can probably stop thinking about winning the league. And this is his fourth season at the club, and Arsenal haven't come close to winning the league since his first. I think at that point, you have to say, like, look, we've given this project a really, really good go. You know, there were fans who wanted him gone at the start of last season when, you know, they lost to Liverpool on the opening day and they had this very late comeback against Aston Villa. I think at some point you've just got to call it and say, it's not working. We've given you a really good shot to fix this and it's not happening.
And what really hurt Arsenal more is the fact that Chelsea are doing so well under Sonny Abambaster. So the 3-2 victory over Real Madrid in the Champions League on Tuesday night, following on from their opening salvos in the WSL, which have been very impressive. What do you find the main difference is between Abambaster's Chelsea and Emma Hayes' version?
Yeah, I mean, I think Abambaster's Chelsea, the differences have been more in terms of how she's spoken about how she wants the team to play as opposed to how the team are playing on the pitch. I don't think Chelsea have looked amazing so far, despite the fact that they have won all their games. And look, they've got a new manager. If you can win, you absolutely take it while she's bedding in. She's been quite unfortunate with injuries as well coming in, which I think has made it harder for her to, you know, have that game plan. She's talked a lot about wanting to press more and wanting to have more possession of the ball. And, you know, definitely a point Emma Hayes' Chelsea became quite counter-attacking, I think, in style. She was quite famous for really struggling to put a midfield together. And then I think you saw them struggle in those bigger games against teams like Barcelona or Manchester City, teams that were really happy just to hold on to the ball. And Chelsea just couldn't get the ball off them and really deal with that. But Chelsea haven't really managed to, I think, find that intensity that Abambaster wants. After that Real Madrid game, she basically said, like, look, I don't think we played well. We didn't work to get the ball back. If you want to win football games, you have to run for the ball. Sometimes we were just walking to get it. So I think that it's clear that there's a sense from her that the team aren't playing how she wants right now. The thing that's, I guess, a bit funny from Chelsea fans is you're like, okay, but we are still winning. And you've got this new project and it's kind of a totally unique experience for Chelsea women fans, not for anyone who watches Chelsea men, because they're very used to having new managers. But you've had Emma Hayes for 12 years and now you've got someone totally new. And I guess it is that thing of like, okay, when can we expect performances? How long do we wait? I don't think anyone's like particularly worried about it, but it's definitely an interesting thing when it comes to sort of judging the team.
Can you understand, Jesse, Sonia Bambastor's frustration at the fixture? Well, opposite of congestion. So Sunday's Women's Super League match against Manchester United last weekend, of course, postponed. She says on Monday it impacted their preparation. Then they don't play a competitive fixture basically in 10 days until that game against Real Madrid. Like, can you see where she's coming from?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think especially when you're coming in as a new manager and you're wanting to get your reps in, you're wanting your team in a rhythm, you're trying to prepare for these games, to have one game just like totally pulled out, it is really tough. I know some Arsenal fans feel like it's been a bit unfair that, you know, Chelsea played on Tuesday and didn't have a game at the weekend, whereas they had a game at weekend and then played on Wednesday and then they've got this big game on Saturday. But I honestly don't think it's really benefited Chelsea at all. And I think you could see in that Real Madrid game, they looked quite sluggish. They looked quite slow. When you're at the start of the season as well, maybe if we're in March, you're thinking, oh, great, 10-day break. Like, nice to be able to have the players sort of get some rest. But we've just got going. So I think, you know, they're a team that wants to play because they've got this new manager. They're trying to sort of learn her style. She's trying to learn from how they're adapting to her training. And you take that game out against Manchester United, which would have been a tough game. And I think also, you know, Chelsea started the season against Villa. They then played Crystal Palace. That's very different to playing the likes of United, Real Madrid, Arsenal. You need those games to sort of understand how the team's adapting to your methods. And when that's taken away, you're then in a position where you're sort of scrabbling to get everyone match fit and ready for the games coming up.
It's obviously early days in the season, Jesse, but Manchester City, I mean, unbeaten in the league. The 2-0 win against Barcelona was so, so impressive. Pressed the life out of Barcelona in many respects, but can they keep that going? Obviously, when you're challenging on a couple of fronts, it can be quite tough, and then the cups will come into things as well domestically. But so far, so very good for Man City.
Yeah, a really, really impressive start to the season for Man City. And I think this is also, you know, what's maybe putting the pressure on someone like Idaval, because given that Chelsea have this new manager coming in, and I think there is a bit of an expectation that they might have slip-ups as the season comes on, this was a real opportunity for another club to put their mark on the WSL. And right now it looks like City are going to be that team. The Barcelona performance was one of the most impressive I've seen against Barcelona. They totally rattled them, to be honest, in terms of the pressing. You basically, like, Aitana Bonmatí was non-existent effectively in the game, which is incredible to say about the best player in the world. It is going to be interesting to see how they deal with the season going on, because I always think that, you know, when you're going into the Champions League after a long time out of it, this is the first time they've ever participated in the group stage. The games against Barcelona are the games everyone, you know, gets up for and really gets going. When you're on game week 4, game week 5, and you're playing Hammarby, you're playing St. Poulton, and you've got your sandwich with games like, you know, they go to Stamford Bridge in the middle of November, are you still able to have that energy? And I think the one concern for City will be, is their depth there? I think on an attacking level, it definitely is. And we've seen some really interesting rotation from Gareth Taylor already this season. On a defensive level, I think they're a little bit thinner, and I think they're going to have to cross their fingers that, you know, that their players stay fit, because I think once you start taking some of those players out of the defensive line, also Yui Hasegawa, she's so incredible for them, but they don't really have defensive midfield cover, then I think you'd be really asking questions of the squad, and then you get to, well, can you play all these games when you don't have that depth?
Matters concerning the other end of the table, Jesse, Crystal Palace, how much does it mean to them to win their first ever WSL game, the 2-0 victory against Leicester? There's plenty of Irish interest that we have with Izzy Atkinson, Abby Larkin, Hayley Nolan, but can you give us an insight into the journey that Palace have been on and the significance of that win last weekend?
Yeah, it's really exciting for Palace because they had a horrible, horrible start to life in the WSL. Mm-hmm. It's a 7-0 loss to Chelsea, which, you know, maybe you expect newly promoted side going up against the champions. The 4-0 loss on opening day to Tottenham, that was the one that felt more concerning, because Tottenham are a team who, yes, they're definitely sort of a mid-table side, upper mid-table, but you'd like to think that a team like Palace, if they're going to stay up, might be able to keep it tight. So the win against Leicester, I think, is really exciting for them. I think it will give them a lot of confidence in terms of the team. It's been, it's felt like a tough summer in terms of they waited quite late to make a lot of signings and they had a lot of ins and outs. There was this sense that, okay, they'd won the championship, a very, very tight championship race to get promoted, and they needed to overhaul the squad if they were going to compete in the WSL. They've done that, and maybe we'll see that sort of opening day loss to Spurs as being part of the teething problems because, you know, they were sort of bringing in four or five players in the last week of the window. That's obviously hard for Laura Kaminsky to get them ready for the season. But yeah, the win over Leicester, they took their chances. I think they rode their luck a little bit, but they're the games where you're going to need to pick up points if you're going to stay in the division. And look, it's really exciting. Last season, I think it wasn't until match week 5 that Bristol City picked up their first point. And I think it just speaks generally to creating a more even WSL that we don't know who's going to go down. I think in past seasons, it's felt like really obvious that, you know, that there's a weakest team in the league. I think many people would have said that Palace was that this year, but I think the win over Leicester shows that there's going to be a bit more to them.
Jesse, brilliant insight as always. Thanks a million for jumping on.
Thanks for having me.